What are some of the major challenges facing the church today?
Well, there's been a huge demographic shift. Today, 75% of the world's Catholics come from Latin America and Africa, but only about 25% of Catholics in the world are now located in the Western countries. Most of the money in the church is in these democratic post-industrial countries, I guess you'd say. So there are large questions about why church attendance has continued to fall, whether Catholic schools can thrive as they once did in the United States. So these are demographic issues, along with the closing of churches and, of course, the abuse crisis that the Pope and the bishops are confronting. I think for the bishops of Latin America and Africa, the larger question is the role of the church as an independent presence in countries that very often are on the edge, don't have infrastructures or stable political systems, and people, you know, are on the edge of poverty. And this has certainly been an issue that Pope Francis has stressed.
You've reported on issues including the sexual abuse in the priesthood. Has the church made more recent progress in dealing with this issue?
The church has made progress in dealing with the issue, but it has a very long way to go. In this country, because we have such a strong legal system and an independent press that has been quite aggressive in investigating and covering these many cases, the bishops in 2002 agreed to a youth protection charter. It has not been evenly applied, but it has had the effect of bringing down a great many of the cases of bishops who were recycling known child abusers. I think the big question is whether the Vatican will move to make the charter here an international law for the church, but it's a long road, and we have not yet gotten out of the woods, I would say.
And speaking of Pope Francis, I know he doesn't seem to be as much of a traditionalist as previous popes. That seems to be the perception of some people. Is that perception accurate?
I think so, yes. He has made radical mercy the centerpiece of his agenda, at least in terms of his rhetoric. He has become arguably the most popular figure on the global stage. I don't know of any president or prime minister who speaks so eloquently or consistently about poverty, about people who have been left behind and are on the margins of globalization. And I think he's become popular because he speaks so spontaneously. Quite often the Vatican Press Service will issue, in its daily news digests, the phrase, the Holy Father then spoke off the cuff, and quote him at great length. We're not used to seeing that from popes. And his persona, I think, is one that has warmed a great many hearts, even of people who are not members of the church.
Jason, I know you will be speaking at Wake Forest on April the 2nd. What will you focus on during your visit?
My talk is about the Vatican, the travails of Pope Benedict, why he resigned, the issues facing Pope Francis, and some sense of who Pope Francis is. I've been to Rome twice in the last year and a half on extensive reporting assignments, and I'll be drawing on some of the information I've written about and observed as well.
Do you ever get to go into, you know, how they talk about the secrets of the Vatican in a certain room or library or something like that? Like, do you ever get to go in there and look at some of that stuff?
Well, I've never been asked that. It's a perfectly sensible question, and yet no one's ever asked me the way you did. There's actually a room in the Vatican called the Secret Archives, and the Holy See is slowly accessioning, making public various documents going back in time. I am not one who has worked with archival documents in my research. I tend to work on more recent primary sources, but I have gone into the Vatican Library and had the tour and seen that secret room.
At least you can say that.
I hope my grandchildren one day will appreciate that. But there you are.
But thank you so much, Jason, for your time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, Carrie, thanks a lot.